the Lord. Welcome to the service tonight. Amen. It's good to see each one here. I know we're slack tonight, but we're two or threes gathered together. He's in the midst. And tonight we just want to look to Him for what we need. Amen. Tonight in this service. Welcome each one. Our ones that listen by way of internet, we want to welcome you especially. Trust the Lord will give you a special blessing tonight. Let's sing that little chorus, "Fill My Cup, Lord." Did you come to get it filled tonight? Amen. I believe that our God is a God that has a vast portion tonight. Amen. Let's sing it. Fill my cup, Lord.
Oh,
Hallelujah. Give him a good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. He's worthy of our praise tonight. Amen. Praise his name. Let's sing that song. Give up. Jesus, hold my hand. We need that hand to hold to tonight. I'm glad he's holding us instead of us holding him. Aren't you? Let's sing it. As I travel. Understand that Sister Chanel is in very bad pain and is in surgery. I think even now she has an inflamed appendix and kidney stones, and so she's in surgery. I believe now or just in the last half hour or so. So we want to especially remember Sister Chanel tonight, that God would just come down there in the hospital and give her a touch of healing. I think Brother Andy and Sister Jen, some of them are going over there. Maybe some others are already there. But she especially needs our prayer tonight. Also, we want to remember Sister Rebecca Coffey. I understand has a rib out of place and is in a lot of pain. So we want to remember Sister Rebecca Coffey tonight as we pray. Also, we want to pray for Sister Julia Clayville. She's at home not feeling well. So we want to remember our Sister Julia. God would give her a touch tonight. Also, this request, as my brother-in-law was sent to the hospital with chest pain, and they are keeping him. So we want to remember this request. Also, my stepdad is not doing well since his stroke. Please keep these two in your prayers. And that's from Sister Crystal. So let's remember this, her brother-in-law and her stepdad tonight as we pray. We also want to remember Brother Barry as he travels. I believe they said he's in Zimbabwe right now. So let's remember him, that God would just give him safe travel and that they would have great services for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, you have an unspoken request as we pray. Amen. I'm sure each one of us have unspoken needs tonight.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just bow humbly, Lord, in your presence over this evening. We just come, Lord, after the busyness of today, Lord, just hoping to come into your presence, Lord, tonight and to feast at your table, Father. And may your word just fall upon our hearts, Lord, and our ears. And may we just come, Lord, prepared, Father, to hear from you, Lord, tonight. Father, we're just thankful for the song service tonight, Lord, and we pray our worship, Lord, be pleasing to you, Father. Lord, as you prepare the word, Lord, for us, for the minister to come out here, Lord, I pray you just lay upon his heart, Lord, what needs to be given to us, Lord, this evening. Lord, we have a few needs, Lord, here tonight, God, some urgent ones, Lord, that are underway right now, Lord, and we pray you just bring comfort, Lord, to the family of the Browns, Lord, and are able to be in their presence, Lord, this evening to help them overcome, Lord, the trial, Lord, that they're facing, Lord, with Sister Chanel and her appendix, Father. And we pray, Lord, you just bring healing, Lord, to them and a quick recovery, Father. Lord, we pray for our pastor, Lord, overseas, Lord, and the needs, Lord. I just can't remember them all, Father, but you heard them spoke, Lord, and in our hearts, Lord, in our minds, Lord, and before we even brought them up before you, Lord, we just pray, God, again, you just help us, Lord, to have a wonderful service, Lord, and a wonderful evening together, Father, in your presence. We just love you and ask it all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Shake hands tonight as you're being seated. Amen. Let's sing that song, Power of Your Love. Amen. Praise the Lord. In God's word, His love is so wonderful. Amen. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. I see. Come, and we're going to give Brother Diggs plenty of time tonight to obey the Lord, and we just pull on that gift and let God have His way tonight. Amen. And I believe that you'll go away saying it was good to have been here tonight. Brother Tom, if you would pray with the offering tonight. Amen. God is good, isn't He? Let's sing it to Him. Amen. God is good. go invite Brother Diggs to come tonight at this time, let's just sing "I Will Praise Him" as Brother Diggs comes tonight to bring the word. And just pray God would just use him to speak to our hearts tonight. Amen.
Amen. How many glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. He's worthy of all the praise. It's good to be here. We certainly appreciate your pastor for allowing us to come. We pray the Lord would bless his travels. You know, let's just have a word of prayer, and we'll go right into the word of God tonight. Let's pray. If you have an unspoken request, you can acknowledge it by uplifted hand unto the Lord. Lord God, Father, we raise our hands to you. Lord, as an act of faith, knowing, Lord, that you honor faith, Lord, and you hear the most deepest and sincere prayer of our hearts, Lord. And Lord, we lift our hands to you, Lord, showing that there is a need, Lord. And Father, we know that you are ever-present God. And Lord, we know that you're here tonight because your word says, wherever two or three believers gather, Lord, you're also there in the midst. So, Lord, we pray that the unction of the Holy Spirit would have its way tonight, Lord, that you would move, Lord, in the people's hearts and minds and spirits and souls, Lord. And Father God, that you will make us to be, Lord, what you saw before the foundation of the world. And Lord God, we pray if there's anything in us that's not like you, Lord God, that in this service, Lord, it'll be a purging. Lord God, that the word will come, Lord, and remove anything, Lord, that's not like you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Let the church say amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Acts, the fourth chapter. Acts 4. Acts 4 and let's just read, let's start at verse 13. The Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Amen. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans, the 8th chapter. I want to start at verse 14. Romans 8 and 14. The Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Amen. May the Lord have blessed reading of His Word. You can have your seats. And as you're sitting, I want to flip over to Mark, the 6th chapter. Mark 6. Amen. Mark 6. And I want to read a verse out of here just to set the scene where we're going. Let's start at verse 14. Now, we know that right here in the book of Mark, this is where Jesus was, you know, before Herod, and, you know, they were persecuting and all these different things. But I want to read this passage of scripture right here. It says in 6 and 14, it says, "And the king Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, 'It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead.'" Amen. Tonight, by the grace of God, my subject is reflections. Amen. Reflections, and I think we're pretty familiar with what a reflection is, but tonight, the reflection I'm talking about is the reflection of an image. You know, and as we look in the Bible today, you know, even these passages of scriptures, we take, you know, the book of Herod right here, that Jesus, when he walked the earth, his life was so powerful. You know, and that when they looked at Jesus, it wasn't per se something new, but they couldn't put a finger on who he was. They saw these signs and wonders already operating in spiritual men of old. So they saw the reflection of a life, but they couldn't put a finger on who he was. So they said, some said, you know, it looked like John. Herod said it looked like John the Baptist. He could see the life of John in Jesus. And you know, church, that speaks volumes of who John was. You know, that his life was so powerful that when Christ came on the scene, they had the same testimony. It was like, man, Herod was like, "Man, I thought I killed him. I thought I beheaded him. But it looks like John is risen." Church, what an example we would be if someone would look at us and they would say, "Man, I see Christ. You know, I thought he died 2,000 years ago, but right here in Hickory, North Carolina, I see Christ." You know, what are they saying? "I see his reflection." Amen. "I see his image." Amen. And you know, church, as you look right here in the Bible, that the life of Christ throughout the generations and all the mighty men and the prophets that they used, it wasn't something strange. His life could be easily identified. Hallelujah. Right here they said it was John. He's risen from the dead. And some said it's Elias. Amen. You know, or one of the great prophets. But then Herod says, you know, he got to be John. But I killed him. The life looked so much alike. They were confused. They were confused whether it was a whole new life or it was one that has risen from the dead. But I'm here to say tonight, church, this is what the Holy Ghost should be in our life. That it should be so much like Christ that they look at us and they say, man, I see Christ. He's risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you know, church, all through the scriptures, this happened through mighty men of valor. Hallelujah. You know, even when he asked Peter, who do men say I am? Peter had the same testimony. He said, some say you're John. Some say you're Elias or one of the prophets. Some say you're Jeremiah. He said, but who do you say I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So what I'm saying tonight, I want you to get this, church, that no matter who we are, if we're saying we're Christians, we're supposed to reflect Christ. We're supposed to, when they see us, they're supposed to see Christ. And if you can't see Christ, we're missing the mark. Hallelujah. But let's look at a reflection. You know, just to get on the same page. You know, let's make this clear. A mirror can only reflect what's in front of it. Hallelujah. You can be in your mirror, standing in your house, and you can say, I look like Brother Deeds. That mirror will tell you, you lying. Hallelujah. A mirror does not lie. Hallelujah. It'll show the... Now, let me say this. I know they got those little trick mirrors at the fairground and all that stuff that make you look like this when you're really like this. But you know, that's trickery. You know, it'll make you short when you're really tall. That's trickery. We're talking about truth. And a mirror can only project the truth. You know, before you go to church, most of us did this before we came to church. What did we do? We looked in the mirror to see our reflection. We wanted, what was the biggest thing? We wanted to see the image of ourselves. So we stood, why did we stand in that mirror? Because we wanted to see if everything was right. What were we looking for? We were looking for flaws. Hallelujah. And the best way to find your flaws is to look in the mirror. Hallelujah. This mirror right here will tell you all of your flaws. You don't have to wait till Wednesday or Sunday night for a preacher to come and preach to you. You can look in this, and this will tell you what you're reflecting. Hallelujah. Everybody with me? And the mirror doesn't lie. I can look in that mirror. I can stand there. And, you know, I can have an image in my mind. You know, I can say, you know what? I'm tall. I'm 6'9". I'm tall. I'm dark. And I'm handsome. Now, all that can be in my mind. But that mirror going to tell me the truth. I might have two of it, right? I might be dark and handsome, but I ain't tall. So you can psych yourself up. You can have an imaginary position of Christ, but the word does not lie. The word will tell you what Christ, hallelujah, is, who Christ is, and what you and me should expect in our reflection. You know, and I can stand in that mirror and I can say, you know, I think my shirt is purple. I might have on a shirt, but it's not purple. So that mirror is not going to tell you nothing but the truth. And one thing you have to realize, amen. You know, I was picking with my daughter. You know how women, they have scarves on their head and different stuff to set their hair and all that before they go a certain place. And you know, why? Because they're dealing with their reflection. They're dealing with their image. Hallelujah. And you know, if you stand there in that mirror and you fixing everything and then you walk away and your hair is sticking up and you might not even know it. You walking around and you look like a rooster. And everybody is laughing at you. And you're like, I don't know what they're laughing at. I look good. But you hadn't been in the mirror. When you walk, when you was in the mirror, everything was was fine. It was pressed down. But some kind of way, you got jacked up when you left the mirror. And I'm sure I ain't the only one that didn't happen to. I know that didn't happen to some of us. Amen. Everything was good when you were standing in front of the mirror, but you got away from the mirror and you got kind of messed up. Your image got kind of messed up. And now people are looking at you and they're laughing because you're not reflecting what you saw last. Hallelujah. And that happens to us all the time. We step away from the mirror of God's word and we start to project something that's not good. We start to project something that's not good for the image of what you saw last. And, you know, and people tell you about yourself. You know, you might be walking around, like I said, you looking like a rooster, and you thinking, you know, you didn't went maybe 4 hours on the job, and your ass sitting up in the air. And everybody walking by your desk laughing. And you might be thinking, what are they laughing for? I look good. You know, somebody else walked by, you know, hey. You need to go look in the mirror. And you might not even take their advice, but they're trying to help you. And you're thinking, I look good. But then it's somebody trustworthy. Somebody that you know has your best interest in mind. They'll come and tell you what somebody else has already said. How often does that happen, church? Hallelujah. We've heard the word. Hallelujah. It's come forth. It's right here. The image is reflecting from us. But, hallelujah, it depends on who it's coming from, whether we look and see or not. That's not good. That's not good. So then you go back to the mirror, and you're like, oh, I walked around like this all day, jacked up, looking like a rooster. And they say, hey, I tried to tell you. I tried to tell you 2 hours ago, this is how you look. How often has that happened? We've come to church, we've heard message after message, sermon after sermon, quote after quote, dealing with the mirror of God's word. But we don't listen because of who it's coming from. When it's truth, amen. When we talk about the image and we look at the image, you know, you take a team. Y'all know me, I like talking about teams and stuff like that. But you take a team. That team has a reflection of the owner. So if everybody on that team got on the same uniform and everybody got holes in their uniform, you know, both the sisters know, you know, you have to wash color with colors and white with whites. But say one day I'm on the team, Sister Faye, and I say, you know what? I'm going to take my red uniform and I'm going to wash it in Clorox. You know what that's going to do? That's going to fade it. That's going to mess up everything. And you know, I can come out there, stand out with the team, and everybody else looking good but me. And they're going to wonder, what in the world happened to my uniform? Because I'm a reflection of the whole team. And I'm saying tonight that who you are out here in Hickory or wherever you might stay, you're a reflection of this ministry. You're a reflection of this church. Hallelujah. You can be out doing the wrong thing and somebody come to you and say, hey, I thought you went to Hickory Bible Temple. Yeah, that's my pastor. You're a reflection of Brother Coffee. So there can be things that you'll do that'll make him look bad. Just like a wife is a reflection of a husband. And a husband, a reflection of a wife. And children, reflection of those parents. Hallelujah. Amen. There are things that you can do that makes other people you associated with look bad. That's why you have to constantly stay in the mirror of the word. I know y'all ain't thought I was just going to start with the mirror part. No, stay in the mirror of the word. Because one thing about the mirror of this word, it will never lie to you. And as long as I'm on that team, I'm supposed to present myself, catch this now, I'm supposed to present myself as a team player. There's no I in team. Hallelujah. So when you're a part of a team, you're supposed to have a selfless attitude. Because the things you do reflect the team. And we call ourselves bride. Hallelujah. Amen. And then I call myself bride. And my church may be in Columbia, South Carolina. But the things you may do as bride will affect me. When I come to witnessing or talking to different people and, you know, and all these things, you know, that's why you have to stay in the Word of God. Y'all know I ain't going to be long. I'm about to close. But you look all through the Scripture and you could see that when the Holy Ghost really dealt with God's people, they saw Jesus. That's why I read Acts the 4th chapter. Acts the 4th chapter, Peter and John, they did a noted miracle. And it got everybody's attention. You know, and the Sadducees, the Pharisees, or whichever one it was, the scribe, let's say, the scribe was like, hey, you know, they shouldn't be doing this because we didn't kill Jesus over here in the Gospels. We didn't kill him over in the Gospels, but looked like he's still alive. Glory to God. Look like he's still alive. I'm going to read it to you again. It says, church, in Acts the 4th chapter, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Oh, my. Listen to this, church. They were unlearned and ignorant men. That has nothing to do with what you're reflecting. How much knowledge you got. How much you know, it's the life inside. Hallelujah. Look, this is what the prophet of God says. He says, always don't judge your life by how much power you have to perform miracles. And we don't judge ourselves by how much knowledge you have of the word. But always judge yourself, look back, and take inventory on what kind of fruit the life of your presently life now is bearing. So who you are, the life you live, it tells me what you believe. And right now we're in a stage, church, where people are backing up from what the prophet preached. You got people who are living their life through their children. And they're like, oh, well, I was raised a certain way in this message, and I don't want to raise my children like that. I want to let them party. I want to let them do this, let them do that. My question to a person like that is, and y'all forgive me for being so direct, fool, how did you turn out? Your parents raised you in this message, and they might have been strict, and you lived a good life. You may have got married and have children, and now all of a sudden, you're feeling bad about how you was raised. But you lived a good life. You didn't find yourself locked in jail or caught on drugs or all these things, but it was because your parents used the Bible for a mirror. Or they used the message for a mirror. And now people are getting tired. They're getting tired and they're looking for excuses. And, you know, it doesn't take all that to be saved. It don't. We measure it by the life Jesus lived. I shouldn't have to come up here and preach on how you dress and what to wear. It's all in the mirror. It's all here. The problem is people don't fear God anymore. They'll do it and do it and do it, think they're getting away, and then all of a sudden they got cancer. Because they didn't stay with the reflection of the word. But the Bible says, even when he's talking about a man who went away from the scriptures and he began to think that he can do this and do that, he said that man is being drawn away by his own lust. And that's what happens, church. When you walk away from the mirror, you put your eyes on other things then. Stay with the word. Because the word, the mirror of the word, can only produce the word. It can't produce anything else. You know what? And what blows me away about the message, ever since I've gotten saved and come in contact with the message, church, I've been good. Yeah. You have battles, you have trials, but we serve a great big God. Hallelujah. He knows what you're going through. Church, look at this now. We just talking about the mirror of God's word. When I go through something, God looks at it and says, you know what? I didn't been through that. So he mirrors it. He looks at me going through it and he says, you know what? I have to bring him out the same way I came out. Because the word of God does not change. Hallelujah. He said, we have a high priest that can be touched by the feelings of all our infirmities. There's nothing that you can go through that God has not gone through himself. So he can watch you go through it. But you know what he's looking for? He's looking for you to go through that trial and be his reflection. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Think about it. You go through a trial. And you're like, oh, man. I'm so sick of this. I'm sick and tired of going through things. That's not the mirror of the word. Jesus never did that. Hallelujah. He prayed for strength and different things like that, but you never heard him complain. Now, you did hear some people in the Bible complain about what they was going through. You know what ended up happening to them? They ended up getting swallowed up in the earth. Now, I definitely don't want to mirror that. Oh, Lord, we ain't got nothing to eat out here. Oh, Lord, I'm thirsty. Complaining and complaining. And God said, you know what? I'm sick of all this complaining, and all I'm trying to do is take them to a promised land. Whew. So, church, when I, I'm about to say something heavy. Y'all better get your big gloves out. Church, when I find myself going through trials and tribulation, hallelujah, I mirror that in the word, showing that the first people that had unctions of trials and trials and trials, God had already gave them a promise that it was going to the promised land. So if I got trials, that must mean I got a promised land. Hallelujah. Because God said, I've led you this way to see if you're going to serve me. To see if you were going to humble yourself. To see if you are who you say you was. Whew. Hallelujah. Church, we got all kind of examples in the word of God that tells us what we should mirror. Joseph was 17 years old when he got separated from his family. But did he complain? Mm-mm. Let's mirror that. His brothers hated him. They disliked him. Anybody ever been talked about? Let's mirror the word of God. Jesus was talked about. And you know what? He didn't give people an explanation. They said, you say you're the king of Jews. He said, thou sayest. That's all he said. He didn't have to say, you know, I came from heaven and now I'm here and I'm going to rapture my people. He didn't say any of that. He just let people think what they wanted to think. A friend of mine, Brother Duff, Jack Duff, he was preaching in his church. And he was talking about all kind of different ministries that come forth. He said, some of us need to have the ministry of silence. Some of us need the ministry of silence because we won't explain ourselves. We want to talk about this and talk about that. Sometimes it's just good to be quiet. Let people think what they want to think. I'm looking in the Word. Think about it, church. Hallelujah. We got examples, amen, of a man in the Bible who lost everything and all his message-believing friends start accusing him. You know, he said, all I've been doing is just trying to serve God. That's all I'm doing. Why can't we mirror that? Listen. He says, as I preached some time ago, at a business meeting in Phoenix, Arizona, of the reflection of Jesus, reflecting Christian life. Because what is a Christian? A Christian means to be Christ-like. Now we're going to narrow it on down before I close. You ask yourself, if we would put the mirror of the word in front of you, would God say, I see myself? Oh, he said, we got to get rid of this out of your life. We got to get rid of this. You know, sometimes the mirror can have dirt on it. You got to get some Windex and clean it off. But it'll still reflect what it's supposed to reflect. So sometimes, hallelujah, there's things in our life we have to get rid of so people can see Christ. That's what it's about. Every ministry on the face of the earth is supposed to reflect Christ. Hallelujah. And even in one place, they was talking to Brother Branham about, you know, him being God. And he said, no, that's not true. But then he said, that's not too far off from the truth, though. He was saying, when you get the Holy Ghost, your life is supposed to reflect Christ so much that they see Christ in you. So it's not off if somebody looks at you in the right lane, in the right space, they walk up to you and say, you think you God, don't you? Hallelujah. That should be a compliment. Amen. Because you're trying to live as close to the mirror as you can. You know, the closer you get to the mirror, you can see moles, you can see pimples, you can see all kind of stuff when you get close to that mirror. And that's how we need to be, church. We need to get as close to the Word of God as we can. Don't let, hallelujah, the delay of His coming, hallelujah, get you discouraged. That's what's happening, church. We need to lay aside and say, God, refresh me. Refresh me, God, because I know, church, I don't know about you, but I know He's coming back. There's too much going on for God not to be on His way. We can see too much of the mirror being reflected, hallelujah, for us not to believe that He's coming. He's coming, church. He's on His way. And even when we go in the message, we can see, church, we know what the Pope going to do before He do it. Now, that's a powerful mirror. Listen to this. Oh, my. And many times over in the Bible, we see, and many times referred to, the Acts of the Apostles. It's called, I always like to refer to it as, the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the Apostles. Because, church, once God comes in you, He's living through you. Anything that you can do spiritually, it's not you, it's God. Any blessing, any gift, anything you do, it's God. That's why I love the story of Joseph. Because when Joseph took, look at what he went through. He fought a jealousy from his brothers, hatred from his brothers. He was sold into slavery, loneliness. Then he went into Potiphar's house. He had to fight a lust demon. Then he got lied on. He had a lot to complain about, but did he complain? No, he didn't complain. You know what kept him? The gift of God in his life. He knew God was dealing with him. So, church, going through all that, being accused when he did nothing wrong, part of his wife chasing him. Now, I want you to catch this now. When you go back and read it, that wasn't just a one-time thing. The Bible says she kept coming at him. Can you imagine? Brothers, you mad at a woman on your job? Every day you come in, and you're a Christian man. Every she know you married and don't care. If you got, listen to me good. If you got the Holy Ghost, that will drive you crazy. Notice I said the Holy Ghost. Because if you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you'll be hee-heeing and ha-haing and all kind of other stuff. But if you got the Holy Ghost, it mirrors. When things come in front of you, it's projected by that mirror. And that mirror is the substance inside, the life of Christ. So when certain things arise, that mirror comes up and says, boom, now what do you see? And that's how Joseph was. Joseph's like, hey, I can't do this, you know, because of my master and all this stuff. And besides, my God won't let me do it. But, you know, that wasn't good enough for her. She started snatching clothes. And Joseph ran. Now, I ain't saying nothing that ain't in the Bible. Joseph ran. Then she came and told a lie on him. Next thing you know, Joseph in jail. Why? Because of a lie. Now, church, here comes the baker, the butler. They come. And because Joseph allowed the gift of God to continue, even though he was going through a trial. That's where we got to be, church. Even though you're going through a trial, let the gift of God continue to work in your life. See, that's the right mirror. My life belongs to God. And you know, the butler and beggar came. One had a dream that one had a dream about his life. The other one had a dream about his life. Joseph interpreted the dream. He said, you're going to die and you're going to live. And it happened just like he said. Then the one that died, the other one lived. He said, don't forget about me now. Remember me? He got forgotten about. Now what if he would say, I ain't interpreting no more dreams. That's the wrong attitude. What was keeping him? The reflection. God inside. God dealing with him. That's what was keeping him. So, you know, church, from that point, you know, he got restored. Then the man said, hey, Pharaoh has a dream. See, this is why I love God. You don't know what God is doing. You'll be going through the worst trial in your life. But God is only setting you up to rule. I got a message I'm working on to preach. And it's called Kings and Priests. You know, church, in the midst of being a king, the only way you can be a king is if you become a priest. Because a king has to have, hallelujah, an understanding of intercession. Because he has to be able to deal with people and deal with a kingdom and all these things. He has to know the feeling of the people and what the people want. He don't just rule. He has a kingdom. So the only way you'll be a king is if you got character to rule. And to get the character to rule, you must suffer. Whew, my, my, my. Listen. He says, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that has descended upon the church to continue the work of the Lord Jesus in his going away. It is to give the gospel light in a lesser light. Then it was in Christ when he was here. So, church, our light is to reflect the light that's already been here. So we're not saying anything different. We're not doing anything different. Our life is reflecting Jesus' life. What a compliment. That God loved us so much that he would shine on us so that people could see him living through us. Isn't that such a blessing? My. And I love this type right here. He says, like the moon and the sun, the moon comes up to give a light in the absence of the sun until it can rise again. Whew, my. So, church, the only reason why we have light is because God hasn't come back yet. So we're here in his stead, having all his power, all his grace, all his mercy, all his peace, everything that he is, that light is shining through us. Hallelujah. So while he's gone, he's still working, but he's using us. We are reflectors. Hallelujah. We are reflectors. You know, you need reflectors, right? For any of y'all who may have land, you stay on land property, you know, and a lot of times when you have a lot of land, before you get in the driveway, you have big old ditches on the side. What do? You put a reflector here and a reflector there. Why? Because if you turn in that driveway, you want to know how far you can go. Because if you don't, what will happen? You will end up in the ditch. So think about the grace of God. God has us here as reflectors so some of our peers won't end up in the ditch. Whew. If I come to your house, you put those reflectors out there, I say, thank you, Brother Keith. Whew. So I know how far I can whip it out. Hallelujah. Glory. It's the same thing with the gospel in your life. People will watch you and they will see Christ. Whew. Brother Brandon will say, people won't go to church, but they'll watch you. He said, the moon goes out. Let me go back and read. He said, to give light in the absence of the sun until it can rise again. The moon goes out, and the sun is such a brighter light that puts out the moonlight. My church, when Christ comes back, there's no need for moonlight. Whew. That's why when God was on the, when Jesus was on the earth, when he walked in the Gospels, you never saw the pillar of fire. Because he was the light.
He was the pillar of fire. There was no need for the pillar of fire. He was that light. They ask questions. They say, well, why don't your disciples fast and pray? He's like, why? The one they're going to fast and pray to is right here with them. He's like, they don't wash their hands. He say, for what? The one that's going to cleanse them is right here. You know, they don't pray. The one they're going to pray to is right here. So they don't have to do all these things because I'm right here with them. Church, he's given us a greater measure. Hallelujah. He's not only with us, he's in us. That light is shining through us. Hallelujah. We are reflecting, church. We have an opportunity to reflect perfect love. We have an opportunity to reflect perfect faith. The faith that allowed Jesus to walk on water. Hallelujah. He's given us the ability to be a reflection of that. That kind of faith is on the earth. Hallelujah. You believe it? It's here. It's here. We just got to get closer to the mirror. And I done told this testimony before, but I done walked on water. Just like Peter in the Bible. Walked on water. Some of y'all looking at me like, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I did it. And you can't take it from me. I did it. It was a real cold day in Canada. Real cold day. And they decided to go play ice hockey on the water. And I walked out on the water. It was frozen, but I did it. You can't take that away from me. It was, what is ice? Water. When the temperature get back right, what the ice going to turn into? Water. So what did I walk on? Water. I believe the book. Hallelujah. Glory. If he say you can take up serpents, you can do it. I know a testimony of that. Hallelujah. When this woman got, she was out doing her gardening. And when she did her gardening, she got bit by a snake, poisonous snake. And she's like, oh, Lord, first thing started going through her mind was, you're going to die as a poisonous snake. But then the mirror of the word started to reflect. They shall take up serpents. And that kept rehearsing her mind. So you know what she did? She reached down, grabbed the snake. It bit her again. She put it in her bag. She put it in her basket. And you know what she did? She took it to church. And that night, you know, you have testimony service. Is there anybody got a testimony? She said, I got one. I got one. You know, when God been good to you, you're supposed to tell everybody. She said, I got one. She said, well, I was out doing my chores in the garden. I got bit by a poisonous snake. And everybody laughed at us. Yeah, right. You got bit by a poisonous snake. And you still here. They was laughing at her. She says, you know what? I knew you guys wasn't going to believe me, so I brought the snake here. And she dumped it out in church. And the pastor and the people, all the message believers ran. What were they mirroring? The Bible says you can take up serpents. You can't fake that, though. You got to be close to the mirror. You can't look in there and I'm standing off over here, but I ain't in the mirror. And you say, well, he did it. I can do it. No, you're dealing with the person that's in the mirror. And she let the snake loose, and everybody ran to the back of the church. You know what the pastor did? The pastor, the reflection started coming to him. And he said, you know what? I preached this kind of faith. And one of my members is operating in his faith, and I'm at the back of the church scared. You know what he did? He went up and grabbed the snake. And he got bit. And everybody started doom and gloom. Oh, pastor gonna die. They wasn't close to the mirror. Pastor gonna die. You know what pastor did? Pastor got in the pulpit and started preaching. Preach about 30 minutes. Preach about 40 minutes. Preach about an hour. Preach about a half an hour. And the more he preached, the closer the people came. Hallelujah. They started to see themselves in that mirror. Hallelujah. And by the time he finished, they had the past on their shoulders, running around the church, doing the Jubilee March. Because a snake that was poisonous, hallelujah, couldn't do nothing to that church. Now, I ain't telling nobody to go out here and pick up poisonous snakes. You do how God leads you. That's just a testimony. The mirror. What do you see when you look in the Word of God? Amen. You know, it's the power of the spoken word. Another friend of mine, you know the story in the Bible where Jesus talks, he walks up to a fig tree, he's hungry, he doesn't have anything, and he curses the tree. And what happens? Right there in that moment, the tree dies. Is that the Bible? Church, why did he do that in front of his disciples? Because he wanted them to mirror that same authority. A friend of mine in London, she had a pear tree in her yard. When the tree got a certain size, it's supposed to produce, right? Amen? Are you with me, church? When it get a certain size, it's supposed to push out some fruit. But year after year, this tree wouldn't give her no pears. So you know what? The mirror started coming. The reflection started coming. And she walked up to the tree, and she said, if you don't give me no fruit, if you don't give me no fruit. Now, last time I checked, I ain't never seen a tree that had ears. I ain't never seen a tree that had a brain or eyes. But she walked up to that tree, and she said, if you don't give me no fruit, I'm going to cut you down. And then she went by her business. Next year, when it came time to produce fruit, that tree, that pear tree, who had never produced any pears, it was pushing out so many pears, they were falling all on the ground. Why? Because a lady tapped into the mirror of the word. And we talked about it a couple weeks ago. She said, Brother Diggs, there's so many pears coming off that tree, the branches started breaking. And more branches had to push out. Why? To hold, hallelujah, the new growth. Hallelujah, church. Church, when you get in your position, hallelujah, God will push out new growth. So don't get discouraged when a branch might break or this might happen, a scar might happen. No, new growth has to come back out if there's life in the tree. Hallelujah. I'm coming to a close. Musicians, come. I'm coming to a close. Hallelujah. But I hope you get it, church. We're here to reflect the life of a Christian. And when we look in the Bible, especially in the book of Acts, whenever they talked about the apostles and the different ones in Acts, they always compared them to Christ. Always. They always compared them to Christ. And that's what we want. We want to be compared to Christ. I don't want to be as much as I love the message and the messenger. I'm not trying to be Brother Branham. Hallelujah. I don't want to be compared to Brother Branham. I'd rather be compared to my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. That when they see the works of my life, they see the acts of the Holy Spirit, just like they did in the Bible. Hallelujah. Because other than that, we're missing the mark. I'm going to read you one more thing, and then I'm going to get out your way. Let me finish this. He says, and that is like Christ. When he was here, he was the light of the world. He went away and shining back on his church. Who was it in Brother Branham's ministry? It was Christ shining through that prophet. Glory. And now that Brother Branham is gone and we have this message and we get the same results as the prophet, it's still Christ shining through us. It's not a different light, and it's not a lesser light. It's the same light of God. Hallelujah. Listen, he says, now, and then the real seed of Abraham believes the promise, just like Abraham did, because it's to Abraham and his seed after him. Church, that's a mouthful. If we call Abraham our father, that means every promise God gave to Abraham is ours. And he said, thy seed shall possess the gate of the enemy. So, church, when you're going through things, step back into the mirror of the word and look at what God promised your father Abraham. He says, now watch what God did to the royal seed to make a covenant confirmed. He took Christ, which was the seed of Abraham, on Calvary. He tore him apart. He took the spirit off of him and put his body in the grave and his soul in hell and raised him up on the third day and raised up his body and brought it up into glory and then sent the spirit back down and took, hallelujah, and kept the body on his right hand, on his right hand side, sent the spirit back down to live in the church, to make a church, catch this now, to make a church just so much with the life of Christ that in the resurrection, the two will come together, bride and bridegroom, the church and Christ will be exactly alike with the same kind of ministry. Hallelujah. Same kind of power. Same kind of spirit. Hallelujah. So church, in this message, hallelujah, out what's being preached, it should produce so much like Christ that they should see the same Jesus Christ as they saw on the earth 2,000 years ago. Because they can only produce the same thing if it's preached right. Whew. He said he raised up the body of Jesus Christ and sat on the right hand and poured down the Spirit upon the church on the day of Pentecost. That's how God proved his covenant with his church. And for any of us to have the Holy Ghost, that's God proving that it's the same Spirit. Hallelujah. That's why I read Romans 8 in my closing. That's why I read Romans 8. The Bible says, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You can say anything to me, but the Spirit will bear witness of what you're reflecting. And I'll say this in closing. The way you dress, the way you look, the way you talk, the places you go, it tells what's going on inside. It tells who you are. Hallelujah. Like I said about the uniform. If I walk out with some shoulder pads, a helmet, some cleats on, and some knee pads and all this stuff, you know I'm a football player. Why? My uniform tells you that. It reflects the game. I hadn't even played a snap, but my uniform reflects the game. Amen. You have some things like that. It just reflects. The uniform reflects what's about to happen. So we shouldn't have to pound you over the head with certain things. It's all in here. It's all in here. And like I like to tell people, you know, they say, you preach this, you preach that. I say, hey, I'm just a messenger. I'm just a messenger. This is God's word. I didn't write it. I'm just trying to stay true to it. Hallelujah. Don't get mad at the preacher and you say, oh, he said this, he said that. If it's coming from here, I didn't say it. God did. All I'm doing is being a reflection of what he said. Are you with me, church? So let's examine our own lives. And as the family of God, look at what we're reflecting. Look at, you know, look at social media. It's all about image. It's all about image. What we do, we go on IG, we go on Facebook, and we take pictures. It's all about image. You want somebody, you sitting at the store eating food, you take a picture of your food. Teach his own. But it's all about image. It don't really mean, you know, that picture of food ain't going to do nothing for me. I can't eat it. But if I reflect God, if I reflect Christ, you reflect Christ, it can do something for somebody. Amen. Let's live a little closer to the mirror, church. Because the mirror doesn't lie. Some of us might need to clean it off a little bit. We need to clean it off a little bit and go stand in front of it. You know, I'm to a place where I need this mirror so bad, I'm in it like this. I ain't got time to see nothing else. I want what God has for me. Amen. Are you with me, church? How many love the Lord? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word, Lord. And Lord, if we could just get close enough to you, Lord, that our lives would reflect you, Lord. Lord, our lives would mirror the word of God. Lord, that when people see us, it'll be just like disciples, that they take knowledge of us, that we've been with you, even though we may be ignorant and unlearned. But what we're projecting, what we're sowing, speaks of a whole other kingdom. So, Lord, we just ask that you have your way in our lives, Lord. And Lord, we pray it was something said to help your people. Lord, to help them draw closer to you. Father, for without you, life is nothing. Lord, and we're living to please you, Lord. We're living, Lord, to produce your will. Lord, we thank you. We give you the honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name.
Of the right thing. You know, our prophet, he was such a reflection, they thought he was Jesus Christ. And we may never come to that, but we can be a reflection. Where we go, what we do, what we say. We just need to draw close to that word and pray to God that we can be that reflection. We can live that word. It can become alive within us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to be in that number tonight, serving Him? Let's sing that song. I'm in that number. Try G. I'm in that number. I'm in that number. In that number. Oh, why? That's what was covered. I need that.
saw that hunger. Some saw that hunger.
Say you're one of them tonight. You're the richest person they are. Amen. Richard, Donald Trump, all the rest of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming tonight. I believe that our hearts have been blessed tonight by the word and the service. And maybe just give us a little strength to press on. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your presence. Lord, we know that your word has been preached tonight. And Lord, that we just pray that you would help us to be a greater reflection of you. Lord, many times the flesh takes control and we don't act, Lord, like you. Our reflection sort of fades away, Lord. But I pray you for always forgive us and you you said you would if we would confess to you. Lord, we just pray that you'd bless the people as they leave tonight. Keep them safe from harm. We pray for Sister Chanel, Lord. You just give her a special touch, Lord. For Sister Julia, we pray for her tonight, Lord. Lord, that they're already feeling much better, Lord God. We know you are a healer, Lord, because you've proved it so many, many times, Lord. God, tonight, just have your way, Lord. And bless Brother Diggs as he goes tonight. And just continue to use him, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're at liberty to go tonight. Let's just pray. I surrender.